Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Drop Tent Media Network.
The fact that you just openly were like, he also has a lot of sex, his name is Monkey. I'm like mad at you for doing that.
Like a whole tray of like different things that you would stick into the patient. You had to go into the patient's hole. It was a urology type surgery. So you had to do this.
Hi, hello, welcome, Call to Bus. Neil Wood, Adam Nutter.
By the renewing of your mind, the recycling. It's a flesh body world. Human. Sir, slimy reptilian.
I've been going caseless. Caseless with the phone.
No.
That's, yeah. That's
what are you doing? Why are you doing that?
Because I want to show people how mature I am. I want to show people how fucking, listen, this is an old trap. This is an old Travis Grant. This is a new Travis Grant. This is a new age. The new age, you know?
How's it going? How is it that new caseless and caseless. That shows maturity?
Yeah. You saw that other bum last time with his case and it was crack and they were like, I think you need a new case. And I was like, fuck off. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to show the haters zero case. Yeah. And it's been going well. I'm doing no case. I'm doing condoms.
Whoa.
I'm not drinking. This is a whole new guy.
Damn, dude. I love it. Let's be back. Hold on. So Travis Grant in the studio. What's up, buddy? How are you?
What's up? Thank you for having me, dude.
Thanks for coming on the fucking Call to Bus. Yeah, man. This has been okay. I like the idea of reinventing yourself. Obviously, we're being into it. You need to be if you're gonna be a leader of men. You know what I mean? So reinventing, okay. Yeah. No booze. Great. Love that. Healthy choices. Your only way to get ripped from what I hear. I hate it every time I hear it. Oh, wait, every time drinking because they're like off of alcohol. And then you see the gains. They'll show like a gains video.
No,
I'm like, I know, man. I got it. I know. All right. I've done it. But it's also, oh, come on, man. We're going into beer season. What are we doing right now?
You know, oh my God, dude. It was definitely like going into. So I got sober. I decided to get sober July 28th. So right. It was like the end of the summer.
It's a good way to do it.
And I was like, okay, fine. And then we started getting to October. I was like, oh no, like this is going to, it's like fall. Like right. I love drinking in the fall.
Sure.
Cause I love pumpkin beers.
Of course.
And then I was like, you just gotta stand strong here.
You just gotta,
it sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks. Sure.
But I mean, it's no case, no drink. Mm. I love that. And then, you're down inflammation. Okay, you're a new man.
Yeah,
it's like a whole thing.
The inflammation, and if we're going to get on a serious note, the inflammation is, dude, it's way down.
Oh, yeah.
Because we've talked about it. I have terrible hips from just like a lifelong of grappling.
Right.
And just running on pavement and
the sentence Batman should say every time he meets a new person, like his PT person is probably like, God, dude, you have terrible hips.
Yeah,
it's just awful.
You could leave these villains alone.
Yeah,
you know,
you have to understand these hips have beaten so many villains.
Yeah,
you can't imagine. Go up,
you're like, oh,
he's talking with a lady. Just shift that position. Yep, sorry, I've got terrible hips. You have to. Darkest nights have brought me these hips.
He has to go into PT with the costume on. Like, all right, this guy's ridiculous.
He does. No, but it's, yeah, man. I mean, the inflammation's down, no drinking. Caseless is insane. I feel like I can't even imagine going caseless on my phone, let alone wearing condoms. No, I'm
good. It's, you know, what's funny with the condoms? It's funny your reasoning
right.
for wearing one.
Yeah.
Like changes. What's going on in my throat today?
Take a break, dude. Let's come to a full stop in this podcast. I don't give a shit. Edit mark now. Yeah, there we go. Boom. Leaving it in.
Yeah. So I always wore condoms.
Yeah.
But the reason has changed.
Oh, interesting.
When I was younger, I was afraid of like catching something.
Sure.
Like a disease.
Yeah. Okay.
So I was like, I don't want to get herpes.
We were different on that.
I don't want to get gonorrhea. Then you get older, you're like, I'll take a pill.
Right.
I don't care.
Yeah.
But if I don't wear a condom, I'll get a chick pregnant and she'll fucking keep it.
Damn. We inverse. That's inverse. The exact inverse of me. I always wore condoms up until like college, till a woman was just like, I don't want you to do that anymore. I'm on the pill. You know, and thankfully no one in my family listens to this, but it's, yeah, because I don't want to hear that. It was like, yeah, mom, Rob Dog, what's up? But no, it was a steady relationship, like coming up on a year or whatever. And she's like, hey, let's not. I'm safe. You know what I mean? It's all good. And I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. I really hemmed it hard, like a fucking, kind of being a dick about it a little bit. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready. You know, she's like, all right, stop being a fucking bitch about it. Just take the condom off. And I'm just saying, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, but it all worked out in the end. But I'm a dirty boy. People know about this.
Okay.
I got the old HSV too, dude. I got the old herpes.
Really, yeah, baby.
Oh yeah. Everybody knows. Talked about it on Kill Tony. Absolutely. Years ago.
Oh really?
Oh yeah. But I get it. That I love that. That's flipped for you. You're like, I'm being an adult now. It was like, at first it was just, I didn't want anything gross. And then mine was all kids. Mine was just like, because my sister got pregnant very young.
Oh,
bless her heart. Love all my nephews. Mine was like,
it was different for you.
It was, yeah. Mine was the exact. I was like, no. I'm going to accidentally get someone pregnant. I know it.
Well, that because of your sister, it was a reality for you.
Right.
For me, I didn't know anyone. So I'm on Long Island. I'm from Long Island. Long Islanders don't want to take responsibility. Ever. Like, we never grow up. We're just like,
you guys still are denying Sandy, right?
Yeah, we're denying
Sandy. They're like, they didn't come through here. We don't know about it.
We're living on our parents, so we're 35. Like, we're just like adult babies. Like, we just don't, that's just like, that's a lot of the culture down there.
Yeah.
So I think I knew, like, in high school, in college, that if a girl ever did get pregnant, she would take care of it. Like, we would take care of it. We would take care of it. People be like, yo, listen, I'm 24 years old. I'm not being a father.
That's fucking wild.
We're both agreeing here that we're not going to be good parents.
Like, that's such a wild thing.
But then, you know, you start getting older and chicks start to be like, well, I want a kid and my time is ticking. You'd be a good dad. And then, yeah. And then, you know, you get caught in a position.
My cousin Vinny shit. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, I'm not fucking a good, I'm not a, and that, as I got older, my friends started knocking chicks up and then the chicks kept it.
Damn.
And then I was like, okay, now it's a reality. Now that can happen to me.
Right.
Not like when I was growing up. When I was growing up, I knew it wouldn't happen. Now I'm like, I think it would actually happen.
Right. Well, did you know growing up that it would happen, but that the kid would be okay, because really you're relying on the parents of the chick and your parents be like, we'll all move in together.
Yeah, but
we'll go into the sitcom immediately. Like, it's such a wild, also like Italian influence, Ray Romano. Like,
oh my God.
Like, it's all right if I get a chick pregnant and I'm 22. We'll all move in together.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be taken care of. We got meatballs. It's going to be okay.
It's like, we can move in with our parents again. And then we could just,
they won't mind. They'll love a little baby.
And it's so unfair that you see that happening on a serious note. It is unfair because imagine you're a parent to two kids and you're like, for like, I don't know, let's say 27 years, you're just nothing but the best parent to these, to your kids. And they go out and they accidentally have families of themselves. And then you're pulled back in. You're like, well, I guess I gotta help out with the parenting thing again. Like, that sucks.
Yeah.
I think if
something to hinge your, I'm wearing condoms because argument on.
I think if I were to knock up a girl and she did want to keep it, I would do my absolute best to put it all on me. I wouldn't bring my parents into it because my parents have had enough. I'm like this. I'm sorry. Like, it would be the worst life for me because I'm a comic and I set up my day job is I set up for events, like pretty much just like move stuff around, which is like not a career.
No.
So it's like, you know, my one friend, he's not a comic. His name's Monkey. We call him Monkey.
Yeah, okay.
And he's
lawyer.
Yeah. Lawyer. Monkey at law.
Yeah. Here we go.
Yeah. So he never wears condoms ever. And I'm like, dude, what if you get like, what if you get a girl pregnant? And he has a lot of sex. And I'm like, dude, what if you get a girl pregnant? Like, then what? And he's like, yeah. And he's a roofer. And he's just like, yeah, you know, I'm a roofer. If I ever got a girl pregnant, you know, I literally just look at her. I'm like, well, I mean, this is no life for a kid. And they usually figure it out. And I was just like, okay. I was like, yeah, I guess ball's in your court, I guess.
Yeah.
You could try that method.
Just hit that back over to her, I guess.
You could just look at her like, you think I'm going to be a good dad? And then, and the girl's like, no. And then the girl takes care of it, I guess. But, you know,
it's good to know there's enough guys out there that still have the old timey traditions.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's like, what happens when you're fucking a guy named Monkey.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, you know, no, because there's been famous people named Monkey in history that have been wildly successful. So it's Donkey, Kong, I believe. I think his nickname was Monkey.
Look at that. He's throwing dick everywhere.
Oh, all over the place. Barrels and dick.
Yeah, man.
That's you got to put some blame on a little bit. Just like, hey, you hooked up with a guy named Monkey. Maybe make him wear a condom. Or I don't know. Yeah, but pull out and just hope. I don't know what that is with Monkey. That's tough.
I
don't want to know where he got the nickname from, nor the fact that you just openly were like, he also has a lot of sex. His name is Monkey. I'm like mad at you for doing that. Like, you just breezed over that. Just like, his name's Monkey. He has a lot of sex. I'm like, what world is this happening? Oh, Long Island. Okay. Dude,
the people that I hang out with, the Long Island comics, too, like Long Island, New York comics, they know. Cause sometimes I bring all my friends out to a show. Cause they're fun guys or just people. I'm friends with many different groups of people, and all those groups of people are all very ridiculous people.
Yeah.
And every time I bring my friends to a show, people are like, you know, see Travis Grant's friends. Like, they're fucking some of the craziest people. So I've always been around wild people and like wild events and wild things. So like, that doesn't faze me at all. I'm 33 now. So it's like, I've been around crazy shit and crazy people since I was like 12. So it's, you know, it's just like a regular thing.
We're building up your cult here. I can see it now.
Yeah.
It's happening. Yeah. We're building up the mind frame of the cult of Travis.
I think if my cult,
wildness is all open.
We were trying to nail down what it exactly meant. Cult of you. We were trying to nail down what that meant for me. And I think it means if you don't get accepted into all the other cults, you can get accepted into my
cult. Nice.
And it could be one of the most fun times of your life.
The cult at the end of the world, dude. Good for you.
Yeah. I'm the guy.
The cult rejects.
The cult rejects. I like it. I can be the reject leader.
I mean, so 12 kicked off the wild days. What happened when you were 12? I mean, 12 formative years for me, I will say as well. So
I guess when you first go into middle school, that's when you first start going to parties, you know, like me, I did.
All right, we get it. You were popular.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I'm very popular.
I know.
I was
11. I get it. All of us didn't look the way we look now, but Travis Grant did look the way he looked. He was granted a reprieve from an ugly period at every moment.
No, okay. So elementary school, I was chubby, and I got ripped on hard for like bad.
Yeah, this is my story. I like it.
The point where I was like crying in showers. And then I hit sixth grade, and I was like, no more.
Okay.
We're going to join a wrestling team. Because I was like, what's the hardest physical activity I could think of? And I just started going through sports. I was a track runner. That's all I did. And I was like, I don't think that's hard enough to make you in really good shape.
Right.
I found wrestling. I was like, all right. And then like, it was cool because when I started wrestling, like the biggest guy, the fattest guy in the room was the strongest guy in the room. You're the biggest.
Yeah.
So who the fuck's moving you? You're like, I'll crush everybody in this room.
Right.
So all of a sudden, my fatness was turned into strength instead of like, you're a fat loser. And then I got in the seventh grade and I did terrible that season. I lost like almost every match.
Damn.
And then eighth grade, I was like, yo, we're going to get shredded and we're going to win every match next season. And I did. And I did all that. And then from that point on, I was like, we'll never be fucking fat again, ever. I've been in out of shape points for me.
Yeah.
But like walking into a bar, like everyone's gonna be like, oh, guy takes care of himself. Like I'll never be fat.
Yeah.
Like you need to, I feel like that's the only way true change comes. You have to get burnt. You got to get traumatized.
I mean, the mindset, whatever. Yeah. I mean, I will say people like, you know, this podcast, we, you know, I may have made fun of my co-host to a point where he then did make a change. It's a good or bad thing. Cause I always thought it was making jest as a dude who was chubbier at one point. It was like, we're just making fun. It's fine. And then, you know, it has an effect. And then it does work. I, of course, in real life was just encouraging him as well. I was like, yeah, man, you should do that. Like, you know, get out, do this, like do that. It's, you know, challenge yourself a little bit like that. But on the pod, it was like, yeah, well, we got a couple extra rolls in the bakery today. You know, like it's rude. Yeah. Like it's whatever. But I was also got my own body image issues. Yeah. I come from like the chubbier kids or whatever. In the cult, you know, I wouldn't say like in my cult, I wouldn't say that body image. Now I have very healthy view. Like you wouldn't need to be in shape. Mm. You're going to need to be on probably a little bit of a health, like a health kick. I'm going to need at least some trying.
Yeah.
From you in my sphere of world. I don't want to hear any of this. Just like, or you can't complain. That's the thing.
Oh, you're talking
if you're about, a big person, what's up?
You're talking about if I'm in your cult, you're saying.
Yeah, like in my whole, like in my worldview, in my mind frame, it's like, I don't, you know, if you're going to, I tell people all the time, it's like, you're going to be big, like whatever. It doesn't matter. Be healthy to your point. But like, I did the complaint. Like, you can't complain. Like, it can't be like, I'm having trouble doing this. I'm having trouble doing that. That's not, you have chosen this. Like, you need to make changes. And if you want to make changes, I'm here for you, whatever you need. You know, let's get a plan together. Let's get this together. You know, here's what I did, whatever. But like in the thing, I'm also like, you can't complain. Like we're gonna make fun of you. Like you can't, you can't be like, oh, I don't know. It's really hard for me to breathe right now. I'm like, well, you got rolls around your neck, dude. I don't know what to tell you. I did it. I was, chubby. I've been having candy a couple of nights this week just because I bought it. I have no impulse control. There is very little. When I'm doing my best, it's there. My slip, dude. It's. Yeah.
Well, you're tall, so your room for fucking up is more
is huge. It's I don't see the gains. It's the thing of I've got room for change and room for playing around, but like it's also the room for the limit on gain. Sometimes trying to get shoulders and like a back at my height has been like. This is just getting into too much bro right now. Like I'm just like every time they're like, if you can't do 50 pushups, I'm like, fucking dude, I'm at like, I'm at 30. It's so much longer. Everyone, it's Travis is doing though. I'm just like, I have so much more arm to push up. I'm so mad all the time.
That's the thing when you see like a short fucking brick.
He's just like
on bench press. You're like, I put up 300 pounds. Like, yeah, but
he's moving 6 inches. He's moving here. He's moving 4 inches off his chest. It's like, pop, pop, pop. Dude, I get it. So it is what it is. But back to the thing of like, I get you on the make a change and you made a lifestyle change. You did. It through bullying, it sucks, but whatever gets you there.
It had to happen.
Whatever gets you there.
It had to happen. That's why I encourage bullying.
Yeah.
Because I think it'll get you where you want to get.
This has been a tested argument on this podcast.
Yeah.
I'm for it in ways, but usually it is with also people who can take it. I will say that if you can't take it, I'm like, hey man, I've been there. Just like keep making changes and you'll get it.
Yeah. Cause, I would say, Yeah. Cause sometimes, I mean like, look at fucking Columbine. Sometimes it doesn't work out.
Sometimes
it works out bad.
Sometimes you're right. I guess kids are so scared now. They are on workout programs in high school just to run from the shooters. Like that's a dark thought to think about. Yeah. I don't even
getting ready for
that
big
being
run.
Incorporated into gym classes is a fucked up decision on some schools, but I get it.
So you're
cold. Drop down and give me hide from the shooter. Yeah.
Your cult is pretty much, hey, listen, we're a cool bunch of guys
for the most part,
but we're also, you know, we're going to make fun of you for a little bit.
It's for a touch,
but it's healthy.
It's healthy. If you really need it, we have like those two frames. It's like, here's our make fun of you. But also if that's affecting you really, it's like, hey, come here. We won't do that anymore. We're completely on science, but you will be treated as persona non grata. I just want to let you know
you are
a protected class in this community.
Okay.
But know that you have to wear like a different shirt.
So once they're in your Colt, can they leave or they're there for good?
We're getting into this kind of stuff. We, you know, these are rules that you're going to have to find out for yourself. We leave it open to interpretation for whether someone can leave or not. No, if you want to go, sure. But we got your info. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of my deal.
I would imagine a lot of people that, like, you know, I'm fucking Neil, man. It's not good.
We got ears on the ground. You know what I mean? We're picking up chatter a lot of the time. We're picking up some chatter. That's the kind of cult I like to run. It's like, oh, someone's talking shit. Okay. We might sit back. We might do nothing. We might do something. We don't know. Yeah. We're the snake in the grass.
What if, I feel like I'm going to get a lot of your guys.
Real passive aggressive. Yeah. You might pick up a lot of guys. They're just like, I feel like a real passive aggressive cult over there.
We were in the woods with Neil.
Oh, here we go.
And I was like, in the woods with Neil? Like, yeah, that's just way fucking cold. It's stupid. I hate it.
It's cool. It's tea time, 9 a.m.
And I was like, oh, you're fucking cool. They doesn't let us do coke in there. And I'm like, oh, you can do coke at my
Yeah.
And they're like, you want some? I'm like, no, I'm done. But I like my people to be on drugs.
It's you like your people to be. I think that's a standard for a lot of cults. That's a good one. I get you. Yeah. So the drugs for you, for your cults, uppers.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's
big
uppies.
Big uppers. Big
those
uppies.
Are tough cults to keep up, dude.
Big uppies.
I just don't know if you know anything about it. It's tough. Yeah. Screaming out. But I get it. I love that because the cult's running on your energy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's I would imagine.
It's sponsored by Yo Kratom, obviously.
Yeah.
Your cult sponsored by Yo Kratom.
Yeah. We got Kratom. Awesome. Yeah. We got Coke.
Nice.
We got, and listen, it's someone's always up.
Meth.
Someone's always up.
We got some crystal.
Yeah.
We got
24 hours.
You can do a lot on crystal from what I've heard.
I don't know if I want to bring crystal into this.
Well, I don't know. Oh, this is, we're saying, oh, God forbid. Yeah, God forbid. Sorry. You're right.
You can freebase your Coke if you want.
Oh,
but
God.
Which is essentially crack.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not crack, but it's essentially crack.
I don't know the difference. I think one sets your face on fire. That's the only, I think you can freebase both, right? Isn't it the same? I don't know.
Crack, I think you can only smoke it.
We're mellow bros. You know what I mean? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Crack, you can only smoke, but you can take cocaine and you can freebase it, which is basically, if I've understood it, burning a pile of cocaine and smoking off top of it.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's how Pryor lit his face on fire.
Yeah.
Right.
Coke, you can snort it and smoke it. Crack, I think you can only smoke it.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But you know, it's like if you want to smoke Coke, like that's like the classy way of doing crack. That's like if you wanna do crack, but you want to do it in a polo, you know? You want to do nice. It. Yeah, you want to look classy when you do it.
Yeah. You want some crocodiles on your shirt. You know what I mean?
Like, ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. Touched up, no big deal.
I'll that's a hill I'll die on.
Okay.
With my cult. I'll let them do what they want to do.
Oh, but for bits of your personality that we're peeling off and putting into the cult, it's wild beginnings at 12. Yeah. You know what I mean? And what, still going back to the no case. It's, I don't understand how this is everyone else. No case, no case confidence.
Realistically, I'm
no case on their phone confidence.
I'm just so lazy. But like now it's been like a month. So I think I'm it's now it's a statement. Now it's like, I'm going to do it.
I have seen it and I've mentioned this to people and they will be like, look at me like I'm crazy. Like I'm like, you don't have any case on your phone. You're just rocking no case. And they're just like, I'm an adult. And they make me feel, and I'm like, it's as if we don't have it on us all the time. And which means the probability of you dropping it is exponential. Like it.
Dude. I had some close calls this week.
You just dropped it when we got on the fucking podcast.
Yeah,
you just dropped
it
on the floor.
I did.
Fucking ceramic floor.
You should have seen me. You should have seen me. I've been doing shows here in Philly all week. I've been having a fucking great time.
Yeah.
I think every time I step out of my car to go do a show, I whoop and then I quick press my body against it. Like, and I like brought it down and put it back in my pocket.
Yes, absolutely.
But why I have that cat-like reflexes?
Wrestling, man.
Wrestling and being sober. So
sure,
that's what I want from listen, you want to do coke, you want to be a wrestler, you want to be cool in my cult, cool, but you gotta have cat-like reflexes.
I wish in my worldview and my universe I could say that I was the almost dropped it guy. I am the I can't believe he juggled it that many times and still dropped it guy.
Like, man. I'm like, oh, fuck, no, I got it. And everyone's just watching. You're like, what the fuck are you? You know, I'm like, hold on. And then it's in the air hold on, wait a second. And then it still drops and shatters every time. I never pull it off. If the spotlight is on me for a second, I could be in mid drop and then the eyes come on me. And then it's like 4 other seconds of drop. And then it finally crashes. Or I'll have it for a second and then drop.
I've had a moment like that, not with a phone. It was years ago. It was in a lacrosse game, and I ran up to the crease, and I went to shoot a goal. You know how like the net is like, it's like a, not a wide net. It's like a very,
it's a rectangle with a triangle bottom.
So I shoot it, and it just goes ding 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 ding, and right out. I was like, are you fucking kidding me, dude?
It does.
And like, I got on the sideline. They were like, what the fuck was that? I'm like, I don't know what the fuck that is. Like, I could try to do that for the rest of my life and that'll never happen again.
No, I can't believe we're going to bro lacrosse time.
No.
I also played lacrosse. No.
I
totally agree, because I've also had the shots. It's the only time where you could, it's like you're playing pool right at the end of exhausting yourself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're a pool player, table pool player, you get to the spot and you're trying to deke or just trying to get it off of them. And then before you know it, if you hit that pole just in the right way, it'll ping pong, like you said, all over the place. I just ran my ass all the way down this field.
Yeah.
On a break.
Yeah.
Fucking looks smooth as shit.
Yeah.
And because of the 1 millimeter off that I did, I just played a fun little game of fucking Plinko.
And that's all physics.
Yeah. And it's just bullshit.
I don't fucking.
It would rob me every time. I hate it.
It's we were talking about pool. I'm trying to get in the pool, but it's one of those things. It's like comedy. It's like you really need to like dedicate your life to even be good at it.
Yeah.
It's a super hard, like in-depth thing.
Yeah.
And I entered this pool tournament in New York City, and I was like, oh, I'm going to get fucking fucked up.
You went straight tournament?
Straight tournament. And I won my first game. And I was like, it was a good match, but I ended up winning. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, you just won your first, like, New York City pool tournament.
Right.
I go on next, and this, like, flamboyantly gay guy gets on, like, walking like that. And I was and he had a glove, like a mitten. And I was like, oh,
shit, didn't he?
And I was like, he's definitely going to wipe me off the screen. I won so I get the first break shot. I miss. He sinks every single shot and gets me the fuck off the table in less than like 3 minutes, dude.
That's right.
And then we all sucked each other's cocks after.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to. So it was a different type of tournament.
You guys were. I was like, I didn't know that's what happens to the losers. And they were like, close the doors.
Own the cucks. Pool hall. That's what we do.
We're never playing pool again.
It's great that you had a Charlie Murphy version of him with Prince.
He walked over like.
Yeah.
I was like, is that the guy I'm playing? I'm like, all right.
He served us pancakes.
At first, I'm like, when I first saw him, I was like, do gay people play pool? I feel like it's like, because in my head, I was like, I feel like only like old men that smoke cigars play pool. And then he put on the mitten, which makes the pool stick slide.
Mitten.
And I was like,
there's no way it's really called a mitten.
No, it's probably just called a glove. But
you made him gay and you made it a mitten, didn't you?
It's a fingerless mitten. That's what it was. It's a fingerless mitten.
Damn.
But it makes the pool stick slide.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he's good.
He's like, no chalk here.
No chalk here. I want to lube up.
It'd be great if he actually, that was just a ploy the whole time. He gets done with you and he's just like, hey, man, listen, next time. He completely drops the act. Next time, dude. You know what I mean? What can I say? Yeah. I was fucking with you.
I'm not gay.
Yeah. This is my daughter's. Here we go. A little bedazzled glove.
Take off that bracelet. By the way, I have a daughter.
Call me sometime. We'll hang out, get some beers.
Wow, really? Shit.
Jumping to a tournament is wild. I don't know. I can't believe how long were you playing before you jumped into a tournament, like a pool tournament? Why would you?
I think I played like.
You had 3 games. You thought you were hot shit. And then
under 10 games.
That's insane.
Under 10 games.
Okay. Your Colts got brazen confidence. There is.
Yo.
That confidence is wild.
You want to hear something like along the same line of that confidence?
Of course.
So it was before pandemic and I needed a job. And my cousin, he works he was a medical technician. And he was like, hey, I can, you know, I work in operating rooms. I operate this machinery. It was for kidney stones and like prostate laserings. Like, you know, when you,
gotcha.
You get older as a man, your prostate inflames and yeah. it's hard to pee. So they got to like laser out. Like, these are like in detail surgeries. We're in right. the operating room. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck am I going to do with that? Like, I don't, he's like, no, you'll just move the machinery around. And I'm like, okay, I move things for a living. That's like for a day job.
Sure.
So I was moving like these big ass medical equipment around okay. for like a year. And he's, hey, I'm about to move to Hawaii. Would you want to take over for me? I'm like, I didn't go to school to be in an operating room. He's like, it's fine. And I was like, are you kidding me? And he's like, yeah, it's fine. I'll train you. I was like, all right. So from there, I was a medical technician in operating rooms.
This is illegal. This just, can't be okay.
Just faking it.
This can't be okay.
Just blindly faking it.
Fuck, dude.
And I'm in operating room. Doctor's like, so what size diameter do we need? And what laser wattage are we? And I'm like, 50 laser? What? I was just making up numbers.
Dude.
And it went well.
Come on.
It went well for like 2.5 years.
That's insane.
And not only was I doing that, I was coming in from the night before on coke. And I'm like, I'm on coke in operating rooms, just making stuff up.
I'm genuinely trying to get a job right now in my field and I'm having trouble. You fucking walk into an operating room, moving equipment around. Why?
Travis.
And it was in the confidence.
It was, and it was,
did you look up videos? Was there anything you could reference?
They gave me like a CD-ROM.
Of course. Of course.
They gave you a CD-ROM.
Here's a CD-ROM watch. Box set.
It was a CD. And they were like, this is how to, you know, work the machinery. And it was like fairly easy.
I'm surprised the doctors were asking you anything. Like, I'm surprised because I'm in my head at first, the way you pitched it, it's just like, okay, it's pre-surgery, right? Yeah. Obviously, you just need to be able to get the machine onto that floor and yeah. put it in the room.
It's moving the machine.
Yeah. And that, okay, I got it. And they just need someone who can move heavy stuff, knows the equipment to move heavy stuff. I didn't know that they would be. Did you know at any point in when you started doing the job that they would be asking you questions? What did he train you?
I didn't think I was ever even going to see a doctor.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, I'm just moving the machinery.
Right.
At this point, I had done all types of moving jobs. That's usually the day jobs I go to support comedy and acting and all that. Yeah. It's just, hey, we need some fucking strong guy yeah. to help move this thing from point A to point B.
Or strong and smart, so you know you're not fucking, yeah, you're yeah. not an idiot, you're not going to kill somebody.
Yeah, you're not yeah. going to, yeah, you're going to strap it
we
up.
We got to get it on a truck, we got to do this, whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've only done moving jobs.
Right.
So I'm like, okay. No problem. Sure. And I worked that job for a year. And then my cousin, he's like, hey, I'm taking my family and I'm moving to Hawaii. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, all right. So like, cause I was my cousin's cousin. Like everybody at the company was like, oh, that's Greg's cousin.
Okay.
You know?
Gotcha. Yeah. So you had the in.
Yeah. I had the in.
What did he train you on?
Like he would like, hey, I got a case. That's what they call it. Like if you have a case, okay. I have a medical case, which is a surgery. A case is a surgery.
Gotcha.
And like, hey, I got three cases at so-and-so hospital.
Right.
Come through and just shadow me and just see how I use the machine,
yeah.
see how I talk to the doctors, see what each, we had like a whole tray of like different things that you would stick into the patient. You had to go into the patient's dick hole. It was a urology type surgery. So you had to like do this.
Okay. You had to.
The doctor did it, but I had to hand him the right thing. It was.
You were the fucking assistant. Like I thought there was like a nurse.
So then
these are inpatient. This is like these surgeries, right? Not necessarily done in like a hospital, but could be done in like an outpatient situation as well.
Some were outpatients, some were in real deal hospital.
I genuinely, dude, we're so short staffed in this country. What the fuck are you doing in there?
Well, that's
just you backwards hat with the medical stuff yeah. over top of it.
Yeah. Just, well, it was like when you go to like a hospital, not medical professionals, we don't see behind the veil. We don't right. see behind the curtain. So we just think that like, oh, these people are like super people. Like they have the right answer for everything. And if they don't have the right answer, then they have plan B, plan C, plan D. Like it's much more correct yeah. and much more professional on that side of the world. That's why I'm over here and they're over there.
Right.
And then you start working over there and you're like, oh, they're just kind of regular people who are really smart. Yeah. And like, you know, like, a lot of the same things still apply to right. them. Like they could be they could be hungover.
Yeah.
They, I mean, like, it's frowned upon, but like, I've definitely seen like some nurses like, yeah, I shouldn't have went out last night. And I was like, what? You serious? Fucking, I mean,
I get this in his dick hole. We'll figure it out. Yeah. Post.
Dude, like, it didn't happen often, but like, sure, there were some times. Obviously, I'm not going to name hospitals and doctors.
No, why would
I? Don't even remember
the description.
I don't even remember like the exact hospitals. And
I got you.
You know, the doctor was never hungover, but yeah, it would be like an assistant or something.
Yeah, I did some stuff for Kevorkian. I did some stuff for like,
yeah, or someone like, yeah, I was up watching, you know, fucking Breaking Bad. Only got like an hour of sleep. All right, let's get this surgery started.
And all you're right,
like,
so wait, you're slowly coming. So when he's like, all right, you're going to take over for me, and you're going to, I'm going to train you for my job, and I'm going to leave. What did he give you as a way of insight into doing that? Like, to the actual takeover of his job? Did he give you just the CD?
The CD.
He's like, watch this.
The CD.
But like, you got it like in the movie Waiting. Like, you got basically like you were training for a fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a server position. Yeah. You're just like, yeah, watch this. Go sit in the back. Check this shit out.
That was
real quick.
That was exactly how it was.
Producer and friend, Neil Wood here. Brief commercial break. Hey, how you doing? This is Neil Wood, one of the co-owners of Drop 10 Media Network and who helps run Biggest Little Comedy. You can check out all the other stuff we do at drop10.com. We've got podcasts, live comedy shows, and so much more. Go over there, support your favorite podcasts, follow them, subscribe. We appreciate it. Again, we're 100% DIY, just a bunch of creatives trying to make it in this. And give us some feedback. We always enjoy a little feedback. Thanks.
We're at United Health Clinic. Well, you're going to be helping us move around stuff. Sometimes we're fucking drunk and you just need to hand us the right thing. Like, dude, what?
That's literally what it was.
Fuck.
That's literally
okay. What it was. First case that you remember grabbing after he left. I would have been racked with nerves.
Oh,
I would have been freaking the fuck out. And
also, I was going like at that stage of my life, it was really, really bad. A lot of really bad things have had happened to me. And I had never been hit like that by so many different things at so many different angles. And I didn't know how to react to it. Like, I was in like a spiraling depression, like a lot of really bad things happened to me. Yeah. And so I was just getting fucked up to run away from it.
Yeah.
But I had this real deal job. So I still had to show up to this real deal job. So I was just like, I would go out, I would just do blow and whatever. Sometimes I get an hour of sleep. Sometimes I just go, oh shit, I actually have to be at the hospital. And I would leave some random person's kitchen after sniffing lines all night and go right to the emergency room and do these fucking medical surgeries.
Yeah. All right.
And then they never saw my face because we had these UV ray glasses and the medical mask. So they never got a good look at my face. So they never knew I was fucked up. They just thought I was kind of a weird guy. You know, they just thought, oh, this guy's, you know, his social skills are off.
Yeah. But he's also just the dude who moves equipment in and out. You know, yeah, whatever.
And it's the medical field. So I guess there's probably a lot of people whose social skills are off.
Sure.
You know, it's a fairly normal thing.
Yeah. I don't expect you to have bedside manner.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, he's in the medical field. He's a little, you know, he's quiet.
Yeah.
Or he speaks at the wrong time.
Yeah.
And and I lived that life for like 3 years. Two, three years. And I would do, they would send me upstate to do all these like surgeries. I load everything back up in the Sprinter van. I had to take truck routes because the Sprinter van was so big. I'd stop in the city, I'd do my shows, do my spots. And then sometimes I would sleep in the van because it didn't make sense to drive all the way back to Long Island.
Right.
And then I have to get up at 4:30, 5:30 in the morning. Yeah. Again. So I would like go back upstate, find this random parking lot, blast the heat and sleep in the car and then do it all again. Sometimes I wouldn't come home for like 2-3 days. And I lived like that for like 2-3 years.
That's insane.
And it was just like, and you know, it was just, and I was like such a sad guy. Like, life was already so bad.
Yeah.
You know, like
at this point, are you acting or just doing comedy?
Nah, I'm not acting.
Gotcha.
I had acted before that. And then
yeah, a taste of like some acting stuff from there. But then it's always like that. You'll have like the job going well and then your life falling around it. You know, it takes a long time sometimes just like for things to fall into place.
Yeah.
And find your way. And then, you know, you won't have a job and then you'll have the life's going well. Like, I've never been happier.
Yeah.
Just now it's just financial. Like it's just like, oh, I'm like talented and have all this stuff, but I need to like figure out how to, I feel you on that.
Yeah.
That's wild. Living in a fucking, God, dude. I mean, you are legitimately like someone I feel like out of a horror movie who like, if I didn't see you fucking just like open up like in a parking lot, a dark parking lot, I just catch, what the fuck's that guy doing? Medical equipment, and you're shutting the door from a red light inside. Yeah, just going to sleep. Yeah. Like, what the fuck's going on? I'm not going in that parking lot, dude. It's just, okay, I mean, again, I feel like the first, but do you remember it all, the first one then? I mean, up on drugs, not sleeping, trying to do comedy, trying to make it work. Do you remember that first, like you had to go to that, I'm sure you don't remember a couple of them, it's just because of the nature of it, but.
They all kind of.
I can't believe you were handing shit to fucking doctors.
We had three pieces. It was the fuck is it called again? It was pretty much, I forgot what it was called. It was pretty much, so the machine sits about this high. It's like yay thick.
Okay, so we're talking 2-3 feet just for the people. Yeah. We're talking 2-3 feet up, 3.5 feet up. 3-4. Okay.
And then out of this, so all like the laser panels are on the side, and then it shoots a laser out. And you put a fiber wire in.
So okay.
It's like a straw.
Gotcha.
Like a transparent straw. You put it in the front. You pick the wattage and all this other stuff. And then it shoots the laser through. Then at the end of the fiber wire, you put, I forgot what these things are called. It's like a sheath.
Okay.
You put the laser thing through the sheath.
Yeah.
Then you put the base part on.
Clicks. Right.
And then there's something that you put at the end of the sheath. And then you hand that to the nurse or the doctor. And then the doctor sticks it in the guy's dick hole. And he's like, give me like a 40 wattage. Because you see the guy's insides on the monitor.
Fucking.
Yeah. The craze is the kidney stones.
This is what I think I'm going to get one day.
Sometimes the kidney stones is they're round and they look like, you know, like you're going through the guy's dick hole on the monitor.
I don't like that you're seeing this.
Yeah.
I don't like that you're.
Yeah, you're seeing the guy's insides.
Don't like that you're seeing this.
You're seeing the guy's insides. And I'm like just fucking rant on coke.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
This is the inside of a human body.
Yeah, here we go.
And then it's like this green laser.
Fucking magic school bus.
Sometimes, I remember there was one time, like, you go through, so pretty much there's like two tubes.
Yeah.
And then they empty out to like the kidneys.
It's just a little, yeah.
And then so once they empty out into the kidneys, it's like, and then sometimes you see them, they're all
breaking news. And this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.
All sitting there. You ever see like a nature show and like a turtle's nest? It's like they go into the sand hole and then it opens up and there's only
right,
a turtle.
Like a chasm. Yeah.
That's what one looked at. Dude, one guy had like 65 fucking.
Oh, this is, dude, I drank so much coffee and shit. I'm so fucking worried.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, my mouth is twitching out because I had two cups of coffee.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll break them down. Sometimes if they're round like that, they'll extract them.
Yeah.
And surgery takes anywhere from like an hour, 2 hours.
You're fucking dipping out in between. I'm good. What's up? Yeah, 45 watts. Nice. Good.
Oh, you're not
good.
Oh, no. I would go to the bathroom.
Do a tootski. Do a tootski.
And like, there was sometimes I would do coke in the bathroom and come back.
Nurse, what you doing? We know you were out. Tootsk? No?
I would go to the bathroom and do coke and then return to surgeries. And like, that was the one time in my life where I realized, I was like, what is your life right now?
Fucking wolf of outpatient, dude. You're literally fucking insane that you're operating.
I don't think I know anyone, and I don't think I'll ever know anyone who has lived this type of life. I was like, this is insane how this all came together.
The Wolf of Wall Street, dude. I'm sure it happens all the time. We all know people that are like busted for, yeah, especially medical field. Some dudes are selling body parts and stuff. There was one in New York that was big that they were selling body parts, and it was linked back. Eventually those dudes were on drugs and shit like that. Yeah, man.
It's wild, dude. It really is. But yeah, just and then sometimes you can get what's called a Jack's stone. You ever play the game Jack's?
Yeah. Oh,
it looks like a Jack's.
Oh, and no, yeah, pinpoint in the middle. If you don't know, because Jack's is like a 1930s game. I feel, I don't know if kids play it, but it's got center mass, right? And then it's got little offshoots.
Yeah.
So it's like that, and then it's got little offshoots with like little maybe cut, you know, little pustules or whatever, not pustules, but like little nodes at the end. Little
branches that
branch
off it. Some people can have those. That's called the Jack's stone. Yeah.
All right.
And then those ones, they gotta break those down, and then they pretty much get like a net. So it's like this thing, and
it's good to know that there's a Long Island blue collar dude at the other end of that, being like, I got it, I know how it works.
Yeah. I know somebody $200 from last night.
If you can't get it, my uncle, I'm telling you, he can figure this out.
Then they take whatever that out, and they put in this other thing. It's called a basket, and they just like, and then it does that, and then you scoop it in the net.
And then they drag that out.
Yeah, and you just like empty the debris out on the thing.
How often do they? I've heard that sometimes they keep shit like this. Did anyone ever ask to keep those weird fucking things?
Oh, the guy's out.
No, I know the guy's out. I mean, usually after, I don't know, every once in a while I hear and see. It's like, they let me keep, like Dennis will let you keep stuff. And sometimes, I don't know.
I thought
you're not supposed to, but then every once in a while, some people are like, cool. Some doctors or whatever. It's like, yeah, you can keep it if you wanted it, I guess. Like,
if it's something extraordinary,
right?
Like the guy with like 60, 70 stones. Yep. Then they'll let you keep it. Cause it's like, I had this guy even walk in here.
Yeah. So if it hurts enough, if the pain threshold is enough, then they'll let you keep it. If it's an oddity.
You know what's really strange? And I still to this day, I don't know like the correlation. I really don't. So most people that we would get are older. They're older men.
Sure.
It tends to happen more in men, and it tends to happen more in men over the age of like 55.
Gotcha.
That's like a large portion of who you're getting.
Okay.
All these guys come in, dude, their dicks are enormous. Dude, this one guy's dick, I kid you not, they're unconscious. So, sure. So it's soft, not hard.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm not kidding you. It was like that, dude.
Okay, we're looking at soft sixer. Soft sixer and a half.
We're talking like a soft eight.
I'm a blessed man, but I understand. You're seeing a lot of long dinghies. A lot of long old dinghies.
I was like, what? But like, it's funny because
bless his heart, dude.
You can't get hard if you have these stones. That's one of the side effects. You have trouble peeing and you have trouble getting it hard. Because like all these stones are now outpressing into other parts of the body down there. So it makes it very hard for you. Like it's pressing into nerves, right. Pressing into pathways. Yeah. It's making it very hard for you to, you know, just have a regular penis, peeing, ejaculating, having a boner, everything. Like it's just, you're a non-working dick, especially if you have fucking 60 stones. And one guy walked in there, just hung. And I was like, we got to help this guy. He can't even get that thing hard. Like,
it's going back to that duality of life. Like, job's doing well, but then, like, your life's falling apart. It's like, this guy's got a massive dick. And he's like, couldn't get hard to save my life, dude.
I'll tell you, man.
Betsy down at the fucking house. She loves it. I cannot get hard. I don't know what's going on.
I tell you, man, no joke. Like, this is, I'm real talk right here. I genuinely, when you're working a job like that, like, you genuinely, at first it was just like this stupid job it wasn't a stupid job. It was a real fucking job, but it was this job that I hated because the traveling was bad. Like I just traveled so much. Right. I didn't care about the operating room part. Was great. That was so interesting to me because I had never, thought I'd be in an operating room working.
Where should you?
So
really, you're not supposed to be in there.
No,
you're not. And, but
like, that was a huge, like, wow. Like you
found a referral from a cousin for moving shit.
I was a mover and I made it happen, but made it happen. And I stuck, you know, like clearly I did good enough job. Cause if I was doing a bad job, I would have been fired, but I wasn't. And I was like, dude, like that was a huge proving to myself moment. But I just hated the travel.
Right.
And that was a company's problem. But the company, they didn't like, they didn't schedule you right, you know? And hey, listen, I got to do shows. I can't be working like a fucking 12-hour day. I'm not going to make my show.
Yeah.
Whatever. But the one thing I ended up getting from this job was like a real responsibility to like help people. You're like this guy, this is going to sound stupid, but like this guy with a huge ass dick and he can't use it. I was like, even on a hangover from the night before, I was like, yo, we got to help this guy. Like, yo, come on guys. We got to help this fucking guy. Like, and I was like, I was like, it was almost like my hangover went away and I was just like, all right, what wattage do we need? Like, paying attention in there. I was like really focused, really paying attention.
Love it.
Granted, I shouldn't have been in there in the first place,
right.
But you'd be surprised that like some people, you may be one of them, when you're put in a real situation like that, how much you can actually achieve, how much you can actually do.
Yeah, dude, that soft dick empathized you.
Yeah.
You felt sympathy. You were just like, I love to think that like right before you were thinking about quitting, you know?
Yeah.
Like right before the surgery, you're in the back, just like, man, I don't know if I could do this anymore. And you see the patient come in, you're like, yeah, he hasn't been able to get hard. And you look at it,
no,
we got to save him.
We
got to help him. And I'm the only one that can help. Soft music comes in.
But
inspiration.
A lot of these doctors, like that was more on the lower end of their important surgeries of the day. It's called lithotripsy. And okay. Lithotripsy isn't really a pressing matter on the grand scheme of things. You know, like these, like, oh, I was just, I have a lot of them would walk in, but like, I was just doing this over there in room 3. I got to do this fucking shit. Like it was more of an annoyance to them.
Right. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
It was either they were annoyed by it or they looked at it as like a break. They're like, oh good. I had this surgery. This is an easy one.
Right.
Cause it was only at like 2 hours. It was only like 3 hours tops. And that was like real seldom. Like you seldomly would you get a 3-hour surgery.
Yeah. I love the docs. Yeah. Now modern medicine's so good. The docs are like kind of, it's a blase. It's a break.
There were some that were literally 10, 15 minutes.
Right.
And then the guy's done.
Yeah. It's a privilege. There's some privilege in that. Yeah.
Especially after you're like, oh, I just put a guy's spine back together.
Right.
Oh, I just got a laser out of kidney stone. Sick. Boom.
Yeah. There's something there about if modern medicine didn't come as long away, because there's dudes, I think as they would talk about guys with kidney stones back in the day, not being able to treat in the pain and the suffering, you know, like minor surgeries. Now there is something there about doctors being so flippant, kind of almost too flippant. Mm. You know what I mean? Like he's being too cash. Like he's just like, oh, this bullshit again. Oh, All right, here we go. I guess I'll save this guy's life and like whatever. I mean, sort of get his dick back working, have him. Really, it's the pain.
Yeah.
Right. Kidney stones, we all know, is, I mean, it's the joke being like, you know, it's like male pregnancy or whatever, you know, bullshit, but it's very intense pain. They treat it so flippantly though.
There was a doctor, It was very cash. There was a lot of them were very cash. There was one doctor who was a younger guy and he loved going to like Ibiza and he loved going to like raves. Like that was his big thing.
Oh shit.
Didn't look like a raver at all, but he loved raves and he would blast like house music while he's doing it. And they, you know, you turn the lights down and then the laser is coming out. So the laser lights up the room. So like the room is like this fluorescent green while you're listening to house music. And he's like,
you went to Coachella?
Yeah.
He went to fucking, and it's amazing.
And he's like, yeah, dude, he's always talking about Ibiza. He's always talking about raves. And he's like, yeah, man, just makes you want to get, you know, makes you want to have some fun. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm
just looking.
I'm like, no, I am fucked up.
Just looking at long dogs. They're dancing and shit. You're popping them. Dude. Dick's kind of moving from the bass in the room.
I forgot his name. He was a cool guy.
That's amazing, dude.
And you would never, you would look at this guy, you would never think that he was, you know.
I want to get off on a tangent, but I've walked into a doctor's office, like a home practice, you know, where like he's got a couple clients. We ever walk into one and you'll start to recognize what type of doc he is just from the photos on the wall because they love showing the photos. Typically, rich docs, it's always where they've been. Right. Yeah. They've been doing well over their career. It's like, here's Barcelona. Yeah, I went to Russia. I went to like these places. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling this guy's a lot of raves on the wall. A lot of.
Oh, at his house?
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay.
He was a young dude. He wasn't in his 40s.
Yeah.
He wasn't in his 40s.
Always the ones you didn't expect. Interesting.
Yeah. Wasn't in his 40s.
I mean, what? Okay, so you're fuck. Okay, let's see. So that you're called is it's got some medical knowledge, weird medical knowledge. I love that you just interacted with flaccid dongies. And just felt something for him too, dude. That's very heroic of you to be like you.
Dave?
Instead of you could have just stayed completely devoid of it. Yeah, with this bullshit. Yeah, I'm helping some dudes out. You at one point you were moved.
Well, I think if you're
helping people,
I think if you're going to do something, no matter what, like the circumstances are, no matter like anything, if you're okay, I'm here, I'm doing this thing. My name is Neil Wood. I'm over here. I'm doing this thing with these people. I think you need to fully just commit and forget all the other things. Yeah. And then before you know it, like, oh, wait, I'm doing this fucking thing. Right. And I'm doing it well. Yeah. Don't think about like how you feel about the thing. Just fucking do it. Literally just like forget those feelings even exist.
Yeah.
And then just go and you fucking do it. And I think I've gotten that through stand up because stand up, when you first started, I've always wanted to do stand up since I was a little kid. Yeah. I always wanted to do stand up. I always wanted to act.
Same.
And then when it came time and I had my first show, I was first to go up on my first show.
Gotcha.
I did bullet spot. I kicked the first show off and they were like, oh, you're up first. And I was like, there's something in my head. I was just like, listen, this is the fucking moment you were waiting for.
Right.
Go up and fucking do it. Do everything that you said you were going to do. We're doing it. And when you go on stage, even if you're 10 years into it, like there is a thing inside you that you just leave everything off stage and you're like, you almost become a certain version of yourself and you're like, I'm fucking this guy. I'm going to fucking do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to knock this out of the park. And I think like just doing shows again and again and again over the years, I think that strengthens that ability in yourself.
Yeah. Sometimes it can be seen as blind confidence a lot of the time. That's the troubling mix. Sometimes you see that in comedy and comics where it's like they've developed that, but without the success or like honest justification of the laughter. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, man, we get the confidence and that's amazing. You have the confidence. That said, wasn't exactly what you thought. Those comics and I always go through the thing of like, it's what pulls me away from being overly confident.
Yeah.
I'm always like, dude, you're not shit. Like, you know what I mean? I always come back to like, there's always room to grow. But you need to have that compartmentalization.
Yeah, I definitely have that. Thank God.
It's an East Coast. I feel like it happens in East Coast comics as well. Like you're both confident enough to be insane to like just do it.
Yeah.
And then you have the thing of like humbleness of like I made strides to get here and what I did differently and those types of things. I can still fail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But let's go in with the blinders on, but I can still, I can still pull it away and mess up. But yeah, I think that's what makes it. Cause the overly confident, it's fucking worst.
I see that. I think the thing with East Coast as to why a lot, I mean, listen, all scenes have the people who aren't
borderline like, psychopaths.
Blind confidence and no talent.
Yeah.
But I feel like on the East Coast, like, you'll get put in your place more if you're one of those people.
Yeah.
Like, people won't talk to you at a show or at a mic if you're one of those people.
Yeah.
Where I don't know anything about West Coast scene. I've never been on the West Coast, but like, I feel like, maybe they're a little nicer to those people.
Yeah.
And they're just like, yeah, no, dude, you know what you really need? Like, they'll give them other options. Or like, if you're one of those people on the East Coast, you're like, fucking idiot. This fucking stupid retard.
It gets back to you.
Yeah, yeah. Like someone will just say that to your face. Yeah.
There's always that.
That wasn't that fucking good, kid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like they're just gonna shit on you.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was like, you. God forbid you mentioned something, just like fucking killed on there. You'll just see something. You did. Yeah, you did.
There was
like what? Like, nah, you did. You did great. You know,
I've seen. I went to a mic recently, and there was like a bunch of younger guys, and they were friends. And one of they all sat together at the mic and they all went up. And then like, you could tell like three of them were good and they were normal. And then one guy wasn't as good and he went up and he got like chuckles.
Sure.
And he got off and he was just like, yeah, dude, we all did good. And like, they all looked at him. They're like, yeah, you fucking suck.
He's
like, what are you talking about? I got chuckles. He's like, you call those laughs? Get the fuck out of here. And they were
those are best friends.
Yeah.
Those are best friends.
And they were cutting his ass.
Yeah.
And they were all younger. They were all like, 23, 24. And I was, you know, I'm 33, and I was just like, that's
been there.
Yeah.
Like, gotta have someone to ground you.
They're first starting, and that's like what it is.
Yeah, you gotta have somebody. You're lucky if you have people to ground you that way. I mean, hopefully it's as friendly, it's in jest, and they're just, come on, man. All right. You could have done better, you know.
Yeah.
But you
need that. You need that hot stick poker.
Yeah.
Kind of bring you back to reality.
What kind of, coming in for like a wrap up? Oh, yeah, definitely. What kind of cult do you see yourself building? If you're building the cult and the quote unquote cult that we're building, I think we narrowed it down some ways, but what cult do you see? Are you more Jim Jones style? Eventually we're going to take everyone to Valhalla.
No,
you know what I mean? Or are we talking much more of like Branch Davidians? I guess they did go to Valhalla. So it's either like, yeah. So it's you know, wearing special shoes and putting a purple, you know, little scarf over your face and then drinking some special Kool-Aid as well. Those were, the Branch Davidians, that was out in the desert. Those are the guys that thought the aliens were going to go over top.
Oh, true.
What's his name? Yeah. He might have done some eunuch stuff as well. I don't think that's you. You got a little bit of the Jonestown just because of the uppers.
Yeah.
A little bit of that. It's kind of all hinged on you. You know, there's a little bit of that. But what cult do you see for yourself? If you had you wanted to frame people out for them to join, what is there a cult you like?
Well, I feel like with uppers, it never changed who I was. It just amped up
right.
Who I was. Like I would, like it wasn't like, oh, Travis is great, but once he starts doing coke, he's you can't be around
him. Right.
I was never that. I was always myself. And yeah. I never, like the things that I didn't like and the things that I looked at, I was like, ooh, that's embarrassing. I stayed that.
Yeah.
No matter what I was under the influence of.
Gotcha.
I don't know. I have a good grasp on like who I am.
So these are party drugs, not necessarily a Jim Jones situation. These are, they're shared with everybody. Everyone's allowed to have them.
Whatever I'm about, I've always had a good grasp on.
Yeah.
And I stayed throughout. I think I would want to be a cult where we all agree on something, building something. Whether it's like an actual structure or like some type of business or some type of, I don't know, service. And we provide that thing, that service, that building, that tool.
Okay.
And we are always like, we are the best of that thing.
Yeah, this is Lord Rael territory. All right, the second coming of Jesus. You might be a little bit more modern. He's basically just selling merch. I like it.
Like, oh, you want a boat? Oh, you got to go to Travis cult because they have the best boats that no one even like. You buy a boat from them, but it's not like a Travis cult.
Okay,
like something like that, you know?
Yeah,
I would want to be known for something sick. Like, oh, these guys specialize in this fucking thing.
Okay, yeah, we're burgeoning. You know? I mean, we should just get you involved with like any of the. You know, just Lancaster. We should just get you out of Lancaster. You just join up with some of the Mennonites or whatever.
I like going to business. I like how the Spartans did it. Like how they're just like, okay. Those guys. There's not a lot of them.
Yeah.
But man, if you're going against them, oof, you are fucked, dude.
Gotcha.
Like those guys are gonna fuck you up.
Wildly insular, and have a certain way of doing things, a certain quality, a certain standard.
I feel like you dedicate a lot of your time towards cults. You're using like cult descriptive words.
It's just a fun thing that I mess around with. Yeah. I like to bring people on and like play with the idea, like we were talking about before. Just like play with the idea because these are people that for a lot of, I mean, look at the universe we're in right now, right? It does kind of feel like cult mentality is become more ubiquitous and it's peeled off little bits of some of the behavior and is being used en masse a little bit more. And us as comics, we're really just trying to find people that think we're funny. Like, you know, you're not gonna be funny to everybody. You really want to find the people that you're funny for and rock out with them and have fun. It's not a cult, obviously, but we have, they're clearly, we're great. You know, people are connecting on things. I mean, you might just like my artwork and he's like multi-creative and that's cool. And I fuck with him. So I'm playing on the words, but it's also just such an interesting concept to play with how we meet people. And like, if we had these ridiculous ways about us, if we took, like you're talking about maybe on coke, we take our, and even on stage, we take a certain percentage of ourselves. We put it up to 10, right? It's like, what does that look like?
Yeah.
What are you joining for? Who are the people that love you on stage? And if you all got together, who the fuck are you? Like, I love that you guys are out trying to huck, you know, fucking business, just being like, Travis is super funny. Also, he can help out with your dick pains. I don't know if you know that.
but he moves equipment around and can blast some sweet lasers into your dick.
Yeah, dust them off, you know, give him a few practice rounds.
I mean, he's going to have fun in there while you're doing it. He might play some EDM, he learned from the best, you know what I mean? He's going to be bumping some lasers. It's going to be, cocktail going on. I love it. Yeah, it's going to be fun. Oh, dude, you're an actor, a comic, you know, funny dude, we didn't even get into we're going to wrap on this, I think. So you and I met at a very interesting, just a regular, I should say, a very interesting event.
Yes.
The Atlantic City Beer Fest. We were there with a comedy group, and we had an interesting task of either roasting people or having them tell us a joke to try to be funny so that they could use the porta potty.
Yeah.
In our event, which was a clean porta potty that, you know, was the cell, like you can come use a nice clean porta potty. It was whatever. It was just for the sillies.
Yeah.
You had a little tough time there.
Oh my God.
It was a crazy event in general.
Oh my God.
But you did have a tough time on top of it being crazy, I should say.
Yeah.
Tell them what happened.
So we were booked for two nights. I come, I meet you, I meet Sonya V.
Yeah.
You guys are great.
Sonya Z.
Z, gotcha. Z, Z.
You're
fucking blah. Sonya Z. I meet Neil Wood and Sonya Z, and we're doing this roast-a-thon thing. We do it. We're there for like fucking 10 hours or whatever.
So tired.
Just. And so first night goes well. Boom. We go back to the hotel room. We got to report back the next morning.
Yeah. Like 11.
Yeah.
11 a.m. I think.
So I report back. The second day, there's two shifts. There's the day shift and the night shift.
Yeah.
I come in for the day shift and I take these two OPMS Kratom shots. I drink Kratom all the time. That's why you see me twitching out.
Yeah.
I love being up. Yeah. I love being, I had taken these Kratom shots before and they were fine.
Your experience.
I was like, all right, cool. You got these. I took one. I'm feeling great. I took two. I'm feeling even better. I get to the place. I get to AC Convention Center. We're about to do our first shift.
Yeah.
And I'm on stage. I'm doing whatever. And I just feel my soul leave my fucking body. And I'm like, what is going on? And like, I feel like my brain is like separated from my head. I'm like, I've never felt this feeling in my life. I start getting a cold sweat. I start losing color in my face. Sonya was like, are you all right? And I was like, I don't know what's happening. And I sat, I was like, let me just sit down, drink some water. I'll be fine. Water's not helping. It's just getting progressively worse. And I'm like, I got to throw up. I got to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I go to the bathroom and I am just heaving my guts out. The OPMS shot, the Kratom shot, was a bad shot. And it just didn't work with my system well.
Yeah.
And I'm just violently throwing up, trying to get it out of my system. Now, the Kratom shot is about this much, not a lot of liquid. So to get this little amount of liquid out of your system is quite hard. So I'm just, it's early in the day at this beer fest. So people think that I'm throwing up because I'm already drunk.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it's great. I'm doing like, what the fuck is
yelling
that?
Out of the stall.
Like, I was like, shut up. Shut up.
Yeah, you're getting just like a little early, Nancy.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I got two little early for that, huh? I got two of those. I come back.
Savages down
I'm
there.
In a cold sweat. And I'm just.
As if anyone in Atlantic City has anything to fucking say. Really?
Yeah.
It's Atlantic City. Are you surprised? There's dudes just getting off the slots who are hammered right now.
Yeah.
And you're like, a little early. Like, it's Atlantic City, dude. It's a fucking bazaar. It's insane.
Dude, so then like I come back. You guys are like, hey, just sit the rest of this one out.
Yeah, just.
We end it. And then they're like, you got to be back here by 6 o'clock for the second show. I'm like, all right, cool. I go to my car. And I just keep throwing up in like outside my car. People are like, oh, he's not here. I'm like, enough with the shit already.
Yeah.
I remember when I finally got it out of me because it looked like ink. I finally got it out. And I was just like, and then my stomach, I felt it come back, my life come back through my stomach, to my chest, through my arms. And I went into my car. I turned on the AC, listened to Dan Soder on Your Mom's House.
Oh, yeah.
And I passed out for like 40 minutes. I came back, started slowly drinking water, and I was back. And I came back, they're like, you're all right? I'm like, I'm all right. And then we went and we rocked the second show.
Yeah.
And I was just like, but like that, I would say, that, I don't know, like fucking first 6 hours, hey, 7 hours.
I'm roller coaster.
That was hell, dude. I thought you guys were going to be mad at me because I couldn't perform. And you guys were like the best. You, Amy, Amy Lynn, who's running it. She was like, no, like I'm worried about you.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't. Yeah.
Because that's the thing. When you first start out comedy, like you're not even looked at as a person.
Right.
You're looked at as just this like dancing monkey. And they're like, fuck it, get it together. Right. All right. You know? And I just like, and just, yeah. Also like growing up as a wrestler too, you're also like looked at as that, like get it together and get out there and wrestle, get out there and fight. So I think like everything that I've done in my life, I've always just been looked at as like, I don't give a shit what you're going through. Get it together.
Yeah.
So I was like, these people are going to be mad at me. I need to pull it together, which that freaking out made the sickness worse.
Right.
And then I got back and you guys were great. And I was like, all right, thank you.
I mean, it was a wild situation where I was so fucking spent after 2 days of Rosie. I don't want to say I did too good of a job.
You did a great job.
Thank you. It was just one of these things where I was like, how do we get more people over here? And if we kind of just put out the vibe that we will roast you.
Yeah.
Which is what I think it's the more entertaining thing. We were offering an entertaining service and then we were offering people the other service of tell us a joke and get a clean bathroom experience in my head.
Yeah.
So like we were just kind of going off. I had one guy who was upset.
When you were out,
I think still this might have even in the second day or I'm not going to put you on blast. Let's just say some Hooters chicks were trying to pull us away from the stand.
Oh, yeah.
They were trying to succeed. I will not put you on blast for anything like that, but it was wonderful. I mean, hey, listen, it wouldn't be the first time Hooters chicks have done something like this. So we were at a competition. You're trying to bid for your stand and they're walking around. I get it. Your head was in the right game. Your head was in the right game.
They're very attractive.
Yes, they were very attractive. So I'm like, where is he? He's gone. I'm like, all right, he'll be back. I think it's fine. But it was the thing where I'm like going, like where we started to get like a crowd at a couple of points. Like we would just get a crowd and we'd just be, step right up. We're trying to do like almost the vaudevillian kind of like circus barker kind of thing. Like step right up, you know, grab a thing. Well, you know, I realized I was going a little too far. Uh-oh. Into the crowd, like, because people are just gathering to see what happened, and we're comics, so I'm just kind of like, step right up. Just like, wow, those shoes today, you know, I started to dip into the crowd when I shouldn't have been. And one dude is just he just exploded, you could tell he was a dude who was teased. I get it. I was teased in high school. And he was teased, and I just kind of was like, oh, yeah, look at this lady. Oh, that's cool. You put on whatever. Again, this is just all dumb shit off the cuff. It's like, all right, you got your mom's tablecloth. You put it on as a dress. Good for you. I wouldn't go with it. That's me, whatever. And then he just explodes off to my left. He just yells to the entire. He just goes, why are we making fun of what people are wearing? And I just look at him like,
was he chubby ball white guy? Man.
Yeah, he was. How did you know?
I think I was there.
Yeah. Okay. I was like, hey, man, we're just messing around. Like, you could see him like, come out of it.
He was drunk.
Yeah. You could see him like, come out of it. Kind of just be like, all right. Yeah. So I was like, I'm not even talking to you. Like, why don't you walk away from where we are? Like, it was kind of a thing of like, you're not in, this isn't online. I'm not coming at you directly. Like, walk away, bro. Like, it didn't make any. He was like, and just like kind of came out of it and walked away. It was exhausting. It was fun, but and everybody for the most part was just like, you know, again, these are people that are also telling you in the bathroom that you're a fucking Nancy and these are hardened people. It's fine.
I did that same event the year before that.
Oh, right.
They had a tent like outside, like we weren't in the convention center. We were outside somewhere. And that was the first one I ever did. And that was the first time that I did it. And I realized like Jersey people are just a different breed of people. Yeah. They really are. Like they're the types of people that can be raging alcoholics and have crazy lives, but also like upkeep a good job.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, you people just like, when I was doing it, the first time I did it, they were doing a 5K.
Right.
And then they get done with the 5K.
They did the same thing for this year too. Yeah,
did they do
some runners? Yeah, except it's such a bigger event. There was a race that basically ended there.
Yeah,
and you'd see. Yeah.
So the first time they do the 5K, and then they end up at the beer convention.
Right.
And I was like, "Oh, you guys ready to get drunk now?" They're like, "We were already drinking." And I'm like, "For the race?"
Yeah.
And they're like, "Yeah, for the race."
Yeah.
I'm like, "How many beers did you drink during the whole race?" Like, about like 6 or 7. I was like, "You drink 7 beers during a fucking 5K race?"
Yeah.
And they're like, "Yeah." I was like, I cannot do that.
Yeah. And also, I mean, they look, thing was like, yeah, those gains did not have it. You ran a 5K to essentially drink 7 beers. You just had, just had 13, no, at least 3,000 calories. Like you are at net neutral for the rest of your day, which is fine, but that's how they operate.
It's probably like 1,000. Like, I think of Bud Light's 120.
Could be if you're doing Bud Light's 120.
Let's just say Bud Light.
Yeah, if you're doing, if you're in Bud Light's 120, some of those beers, dude, crafts are like 300 cal.
And that was actually a big IPA.
Yeah,
craft.
It was a craft festival. You're hitting, I mean, they're 300 cal for a sip. I mean, they got the little cups. So you have to try to go at it. But like whatever they're drinking during the race, it's hysterical in the way that people wash up. And then you're just sweating beer at the end. Oh. You're walking around smelling, sweating beer.
Oh, I smell like shit on that ride home.
Yeah. Oh, it's a beautiful ceremony that we do in Jersey, dude. It's a beautiful.
Kill a 6-pack of IPAs for a race. Like, you're out of
I'm on a pumpkin
mind.
Stout in the morning, and then I'm having a lighter oatmeal stout after. You're just God. Like, Come on.
2 laps down, oatmeal stout.
I can't. Yeah. I run all the time. And I could, beer running is something I've done, but people want to do it as like a little like, hey, it's fine because I ran. It's like, nah, man, it's all right. You're a functioning alcoholic. It's okay.
That's fucking, and I'm so bad at long distance running already.
Sure. You got bad hips.
Yeah, but even before the hips.
Sure.
Well,
wrestling is need to run, but you guys run in a certain painful way. You guys don't, like, you're not running for the sake of running. You're running to get to a goal.
Yeah.
So you don't give a fuck.
Lose weight and just, like, put yourself through hell.
Yeah,
because
the
wrestling match is hell.
Ride up the old endurance.
Because wrestling match is hell, so you have to put yourself through more hell.
Yeah.
So the match itself doesn't feel
just
like
feels,
hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then that guy's putting himself through hell, too. So you have to put yourself through more hell than the match and through more hell than that guy.
Yeah.
So you're just living hell for like years and years and years and years.
Yeah.
I never loved it. I liked it. I never loved it.
Yeah. I couldn't, I couldn't do wrestling. I mean,
it's too fucking ridiculous.
Honestly, if I was just straight up with you, it was 2-factor. Mm-hmm. It was one. I know there's a lot of punishment. I think I can go through it, but it's a lot of that. And yeah, I would lose weight. I could not do a single, I was like, dude,
yeah,
I'm in the kind of shape where if they see my titties, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like you're going to see my big fat titties and I don't want to be in that situation. And honestly, that was probably the nail in the coffin. I was like, we can't do wrestling. We have to do basketball. I think we're doing basketball, the height and everything.
Were you chubby and then you got tall and the chub went away? Or were you tall and chubby?
My mom put this into context a little bit too. I did work to stay chubby in a way that I didn't know I could do. Mom's side's Italian family. It was more of just like, how many plates can you get down? So I'm already got it set up where like reward is food.
Yeah.
Food is reward, like kind of thing. So seventh grade, I have to have a surgery. I get my appendix taken out, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But the whole time I'm home, I'm just crushing food.
Yeah.
I am destroying it. Like it's insane. I'm talking a full hoagie, an entire bag of Cheetos, adult, like fun, like king size.
Yeah.
And like a milkshake, like, if I can get it on the daily.
Yeah.
Like it's just, it's a nightmare. So with that, I was just getting heavier. I was getting bigger, but it was just, it was both tall, uncoordinated and chunky. I will say firmly in the place of chunky, my little boobies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I had shirts with the pull marks. Like, do you know what I mean? Fat guy pull marks where you're constantly pulling it. So the shirt just develops it.
Okay.
I've told that before. Yeah. 100%. I was just like, oh man, the whole time. Yeah. It's chubby, bad, insecure. So I was like, there's no way I'm doing wrestling. I need to train to get to wrestling shape for a singlet.
Well, that's why I did wrestling. Cause I, it was a really good workout and it got me ripped.
Right.
Like, but as far as like anytime I would be wrestling someone like, you know, you're wrestling, that guy's like second seed in the weight class. And he did this. And I'm like, oh, I don't know all that. And they're like, you don't know all that. I'm like, no, I don't care.
Right.
They're like, what if you lose? I'm like, no, then I lose. I don't, I don't, like, I'm already on
You already accomplished it. Yeah.
I'm already super ripped because of wrestling.
Right.
I'm on a tough sport, so chicks think I'm cool and tough.
You got a little bravado.
It's a huge important thing to you growing up.
Sure.
That's it. I got what I came for.
It's your thoughts. Yeah.
I got what I came for. If I, whatever medals I won along the way, fucking cool. But I got what I came for. So I really don't give too much of a shit about much else.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I love it, dude.
And that's that. And the people, because I feel like I could have been really good.
Right.
Like I had the athleticism. And I remember just like every time, whether wrestling or jiu-jitsu, people get mad at me. They're like, well, you fucking take it seriously. And I'm like, well, I don't give a shit. Like, I don't care. I never cared.
Yes.
I never cared about jiu-jitsu. I never cared about wrestling. I just stuck in it long enough to where, like, I got what I came for. So,
same thing with me, movies and sports and stuff. I feel like people are ruining it for me. There's so many people out there that need to make the things that I think would bring us all together.
Yeah.
Sports, music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, these things are meant to group us together. Whatever interest level we have, people make it so much worse. I'm trying to write like jokes about this, but like, you guys make it terrible. Like, they make it bad because they're like, well, you don't know this.
Yeah.
You don't know that. It's like, dude, I'm interested in the thing. Just let me be interested at my level.
To my
level.
Who
gives a shit?
To my level.
I'm interested. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
I used to hate fucking people.
It's the worst. I encounter all the time. I try to say, like, if we get those people out of it, we can all just be like, oh yeah, I love this. Tell me about it. I mean, I'm interested. Like, I'm down to learn more.
Yeah.
I'm not like, I only want to know this. Like, tell me why I should be even more interested.
You know what I fucking can't stand, dude? I can't stand. My friend used to do it all the time. He stopped because we got older. But he does a little bit now. But when we were all younger, it was a real big thing that pissed me the fuck off. He would, you play a song and I'd be like, oh, like, what song is this? He's like, you don't know this fucking song.
Here we go.
Dude, you don't know who this is. Oof. And, or I would play one of my songs and he would just be like, what kind of gay ass song is this? I'm like, yo, shut up. That's my fucking song.
Yeah.
I like this fucking song. Fucking pussy. Shut the fuck up. Everybody smack the fuck out of you. It's so annoying, dude. And then he would always say some dumb shit like, he's like, yeah, I guess I'd like this song if I was a lesbian at a bowling alley. And I'm like, what? I was like, I should throw you in the trash. How about that? I should pick you up and throw you in a dumpster because you're fucking annoying the
uncle
fuck
from 1980s. He's like, boy, if I was a lesbian at a bowling alley. Like,
he got so mad recently. I don't see him that much anymore, but he got so mad recently. I was listening to Circa Survive and he was like, what little fucking Circus Survive? And I was like, yeah, dude, like I've liked them since I was 04. Like I've liked them for a very long time. And he was like, yeah, I guess if you were a blah, 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 says whatever he says. And I'm like, what do you fucking like? And I remember it. And I was like, oh, you like jazz, right? He's like, yeah. I'm like, you like jazz? You like sucking dick while you listen to jazz? Huh? You like doing that? And like, I was just giving him a taste of his own medicine.
Sure, just dumb.
And he just got super angry. I'm like, stop fucking doing that then.
Yeah.
Anytime you do that to me, I'm doing it to you.
Right.
Like, we're adults. I don't even take this anymore.
Yeah, it's insane.
Look how wrapped up I'm getting about it right now.
Right. Tell me why I should be into your thing. Yeah, I feel you on that.
That's my music. Stop fucking
let it be, dude. Like,
fuck you.
Yeah. In our cults, you just fucking be whatever you're into. We don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
All right. Just be whatever it is. Listen, I don't care.
Yeah.
If you're a Dave Matthews fan, keep that shit to yourself.
Yeah. You join fucking, I don't know.
Oh, did I hit a note?
No.
No. It's fine. Hey, Dave Matthews. But you guys know what to do.
Just keep yourself in.
Just don't bring it up. dude, it was awesome having you.
Yeah.
Tell them where they can find everything that you do, man.
Guys, so I'm going to be here in Philly to pretty much today and tomorrow. I'll drive back Wednesday.
Nice.
But, you know what? Just follow me on Trav_Grant on Instagram. It's Trav_Grant on Instagram. Travis Grant on Facebook. Also, I have a podcast too. If you're ever up in New York,
of course.
It's Treading Water Podcast on YouTube, Treading Water Podcast on Instagram. Go check those things out, guys. Thanks. Thanks for having me, big dog. Dude,
Travis Grant, thanks, buddy. And I will see you next time. Another day in the cult. Later, y'all. You want to be a good person. We know you do. And that's why we're here to guide you and help. You can go to @CultOfUsCast or Cult of Us and just subscribe, and that will fix you. This is your Pope, Neil Wood, and that will fix you. We know that you'll grow as a person and be better. Check out all this stuff
at patreon.com/cultofus or drop10.com/podcasts. You want to be better. You will.
Hi, I'm International Man of Mystery, Dan DePriel, and I'm one of the weekday comics. My friend Dave and I get paid to do comedy, believe it or not. But we're not allowed to tell all the jokes we want to tell. That's why we started this podcast. Join us every Tuesday at 8 p.m., where we're going to talk about the news of the day and tell a couple of jokes that we just don't feel comfortable telling on stage. Hey, we don't have careers, so who gives a weekday comics? Our podcast, we're only going to be the big bags of trash we were born to be and aren't allowed on the shows they pay us to do.
This has been a Drop Tent Media production.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.